Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave, how are you?
What's up, Bull? How's it going? How'd you do in your leagues this week?
I got the one, my keeper league. I've already packed it in for, I'm selling for next year.
Yep.
So that league I'm done. But on my other two leagues, I've bounced back nicely. I started 0-3, and I was in 12th place, you know, with tiebreakers. And now I'm 4-3 and in third place in that league. And then in another one, I'm 4-3, and I'm a playoff team, too, after getting off the bad starts in all three. So nice bounce backs for me.
These are crucial weeks. And
yes.
I honestly believe that one of the secrets and one of the keys to turning your team into just being a contender after just being third and middle and being around 4-3, 3-4, is making a deal, and the deal just ends up working out for you. Now, when you make a trade, in theory, it's even, right? You're trading away a player or two for a player or two back, and two people agree on the deal, whatever. It's supposed to be even. It's how those players perform moving forward that matter. I always like taking a chance on making a trade at this point in the year to try and better my squad. One of the ways to make sure you get those players that are good, look at the schedule. Who are they playing in the next couple of weeks? Colts, for example. Great schedule moving forward. The Bengals, they've got a couple of tough games. They're in the AFC North. They've got a great schedule moving forward. The Chargers have a good schedule. So I'm looking for those players right now, some buy-low candidates. Nick Chubb is a buy-low candidate.
Yep.
Getting these guys on your team and rolling with them and hoping that they smash for the rest of the season. That's the difference between a team that's, all right, I'm 4-3, I'm going to try and make it, to a team that ends up going 6-3, and then they cruise into the playoffs, and then they're a real contender for the title.
Yeah. We're talking with Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. I also like to, when I make a trade here, if I can, trade a guy who hasn't had his bye for a guy who's already had his bye. I love doing that.
I like doing that, too. And then there's also the time-honored tradition of trading a guy after he has a huge game.
Yes.
Like I can't think of a better time to trade Tyler Lockett than right now.
Yes.
Because you've got his best game of the year, 200 yards, three touchdowns. He's not going to do that again. Now, he could have 70 yards and a touchdown, just throwing out a number. I'm not projecting that exact number, but he could have that for sure against San Francisco on Sunday. But I always like to try and sell high on guys right after their great big games.
All right, Dave.
Dave, I lost, by the way. I'm here, Dave. Adam just dominates the segment. I'm just, you know, sitting here just listening and enjoying your fancy conversation because I suck, by the way. I scored 93 points this weekend and took another L. But I do have a question for you. Odell Beckham Jr.
He's
out for the season.
Yeah, I heard.
That's kind of a big deal. Does that make anybody else in Cleveland more viable? Does that bring up a guy like Higgins or Donovan Peoples-Jones as a flex or something like that?
Not ready to say that those guys are going to be flexes. I would imagine that we're going to see a mad rush of people picking up Higgins after his 100-yard game on Sunday.
Right.
And I figure that he'll be probably that number one outside receiver. Now, Jarvis has been playing outside a ton too, so they're both going to be outside quite a bit, and they'll mix and match them in the slot. But Higgins will get a lot of attention. I wonder if Austin Hooper is not going to get enough attention. You know, he's only about 50% rostered in CBS Sports, and he had five catches in each of his last three games. And the only reason why he didn't play last week, you guys know this, is the appendectomy. If he's good to go, I think he really does benefit. I think he'll be a stable tight end that gets five, six catches per game. Maybe not in games where the Browns can just cruise with their running backs, but I don't know how often that's going to be. I think that Hooper benefits. If he's out this week, then Harrison Bryant, the kid from FAU who looks really good, he could certainly benefit as well. And that's really about it. Oh, except for those running backs. Yes, that's right. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Remember, this is the identity that they really wanted to go in with first and foremost. Be a running team, be physical, not put too much on Baker Mayfield's plate. And I think they're going to try and start going back to that a little bit more, especially as the weather gets really cold. And especially once Nick Chubb is back, you should see that for sure. That's part of the reason why I love the idea of trading for Nick Chubb right now. You're not going to get him at a discount, but if the person who's got Chubb on their bench is desperate and they need to start winning games to make the playoffs, they will mortgage off Nick Chubb to get some good players to help them win now.
Dave, I traded Chris Godwin in the two leagues that I had him. Part of it was with the signing of Antonio Brown. That was before he got hurt. Now he's not playing this week. But what do you make of that? Like, once everybody's healthy there and Antonio Brown's there, you know, Mike Evans hasn't been putting up huge fantasy numbers. What do you make of, like, there's so many weapons now. What do you make of the Buccaneers from a fantasy perspective?
You know, it's funny, when Mike Evans is playing without Chris Godwin, there's been three games, two of them he's had over 100 yards and at least one touchdown, and he scored, I believe, in all three of them. So maybe that's just what he needs, is to get rid of Chris Godwin.
Yeah,
Brown's coming in. That's not going to help Mike Evans. But what it is going to do is make them very difficult to cover. And we can't say for sure that Antonio Brown is going to be the same exact guy that he was in Pittsburgh for all those years when he was crushing everybody's soul in Ohio. But I do think that he's going to be good, and to the point where he is at the very least a high-end number three fantasy receiver. But let's be real. The guy's a great route runner. The guy's got good speed. We all saw videos on social media of him practicing with Russell Wilson and then with Lamar Jackson. He might end up being a league winner. So if you can acquire him pretty cheap, I wouldn't mind doing it. That's the guy that I wouldn't mind taking a chance on right now, like we talked about to kick off the segment. As for Evans, I kind of like his value right now. I don't think people view him as even like a number two receiver right now. They think of him more as a flex, and they are really ticked off after the game he just had. But I went back and I watched his routes, and he can still get open. He's got great route running skills, good agility, good cuts with his feet. He just doesn't have as much speed as he used to, and it might be a byproduct of him playing at less than 100%, which Bruce Arians talked about. So if you can acquire Mike Evans as less than a top 24 receiver, which is how I have it in the trade chart, by the way, I think that that's absolutely worth doing. And Godwin's maybe a little bit better than Evans. He's going to be more of a number two receiver. I think he's probably the safest of the three. His value is going to be a number two receiver no matter what, especially in PPR.
Dave, what are we doing with the running back situation there in San Francisco?
It's a great question because let's just start with what we know. We know there's no Raheem Mostert. We know there's no Jeff Wilson.
Right.
So what are we left with? Well, Jared McKinnon's there, but they haven't been giving him much work the last couple of weeks, and it's been this kind of strange excuse from Kyle Shanahan that we don't want him to get tired. But he's playing like 23 snaps a game. So how could he possibly be tired on 23 snaps? You'd have to be in bad shape to do that. So something tells me that they're not happy with him or that he's hurt right now. And they just aren't sure just how much to push him. Jermichael Hasty's an interesting player. He's got a lot of speed. I think he's got good enough versatility, but he's just not experienced. And then you've got Tevin Coleman, who could come off the IR. So there's potentially three running backs that could get into San Francisco's workload here. And it's a matchup against Seattle. You want to really take advantage. Hasty's going to be a popular guy off the waiver wire. He's available in over 50% of CBS sports leagues. Don't mind taking a chance on him. He'd probably be one of my first or second priorities because I think he'll play even a little bit. If Kyle Shanahan has Coleman and Jared McKinnon, there's no way he's going to lean on both of them and just shove Jermichael Hasty to the bench after what we've seen from Hasty over the past couple of weeks. It could be a three-headed rotation, and it could absolutely suck. But I think you'll see Hasty play at least to the tune of maybe 5 to 7 touches. I know that doesn't seem like a lot. But if Coleman's out, they don't activate him off of IR, then you could be talking about as many as 15 touches against the Seahawks.
We're talking with Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. Speaking of the Seahawks, Chris Carson banged up, might not play this week. But I believe Carlos Hyde and Travis Homer are banged up too. DJ Dallas, is he the guy to pick up?
He might be. I'm still picking up Carlos Hyde first. It's just the hunch that I have is that his hamstring injury is not as bad as maybe Pete Carroll led on, and that they're going to hopefully let him rest up for a couple days, and then he can roll out and play. Hyde's a veteran. You guys know him from when he played with the Browns. He can probably get on the field and play against the Niners without much, if any, practice this week. But if he's out and Travis Homer's got this knee bruise that could sideline him for the game, and Carson's definitely not going to play, it seems that way as of now anyway, DJ Dallas would be the guy. And so if I had to rank them as for guys to pick up off the waiver wire this week, it'll be Hyde first, Jermichael Hasty second, and then DJ Dallas after that. Because I'd hate to spend, you know, 10% of my fab budget on DJ Dallas only to say, oh, he's not going to get much work because Carlos Hyde's on the field and Travis Homer is going to make it. And by the way, they're playing against San Francisco, which did a nice job against the Patriots runners, including Cam Newton, on Sunday.
Dave, let me ask you this question about Dez Bryant. You know, he just gets signed. Is there any fantasy value for him at all? Or, I mean, do we think he'll make any sort of impact there with Baltimore?
I feel like it's going to take a little while before he truly makes that impact for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And part of it is just because, well, Baltimore's already got Mark Andrews, and he's already been their short target. And Hollywood Brown's a deep threat, but maybe they're just not happy with what he's been able to give them. At the very least, Dez gives them another short area target to try and just diversify their offense. They've been so run-heavy to start the year, and there's going to have to come a point, whether it's in the regular season or in the playoffs, where Lamar Jackson's going to have to become an effective passer, and they can lean on that in a game. So having Dez Bryant running, you know, routes inside of 15 yards, slants, in-cuts, stuff like that, curls, out routes, I think that he can do that. I wouldn't expect Dez Bryant to be the guy who we came to know in the early to mid-2010s. It's been 2.5 years since he's been in the NFL. His last touchdown was December of 2017. So I think you should just have very low expectations for him. Stash him in deeper leagues. If I've only got 5 or 6 bench spots, I'm sorry, I can't carry Dez Bryant.
Dave, we just had a bad trade in my keeper league that I'm annoyed about. And I'm the commissioner, and I don't like to veto trades unless I think there's collusion and it wasn't the case. But this guy was trying to argue with me that LaMichael Perine has more upside next year than Devin Singletary.
It's possible.
Is it possible? Okay.
It is possible because I have a hard time telling Devin Singletary and Zach Moss apart when you watch the tape.
Right.
Now, I know that Devin Singletary last year was outstanding and you know, had a great finish for Buffalo, but he really seems to have lost something. Just doesn't seem like the same running back that he was at the end of 2019. And Zach Moss is a little bit more of a physical running back than Devin Singletary, and they're both good at creating yards after contact. Moss might just be a little bit better, and he might be a little bit fresher because he missed more games. So the whole point of this is, what's the future hold? Well, Buffalo, A, has these two running backs that are kind of the same, that they don't have big investments in either one. They could either keep them, and then they're rotating between those two guys next year, or B, they draft somebody else. And then what happens to Devin Singletary? He becomes a bench guy, or he gets moved, or whatever. And the same thing could happen with Zach Moss. They don't have a lot of draft capital invested into either running back, and I would imagine for the rest of the season you will at the very least see them rotate, and potentially at the very most see Zach Moss eventually take over as the better fantasy runner in Buffalo.
We're talking with Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. We have a question from Timmy, who says, this week, Ben Roethlisberger or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson's an easy one. I know the matchup's tough against the Steelers, but I'd rather go with him and his two-way versatility, being able to be a runner and thrower, versus Roethlisberger, who's stationary. And this is going to be the first week we see this Ravens defense with Yannick Ngakoue on top of Calais Campbell, on top of, if Brandon Williams is healthy, that'll be another big guy, and that's just the defensive front for them. So this is going to be a really tough matchup. And by the way, I think the Ravens secondary matches up very well with the Steelers receivers. They're going to be pressing them quite a bit, I imagine, at least to start the game. You're going to see a tough matchup here for Roethlisberger. I have a hard time believing that he's going to get you 3 touchdowns and 250 yards, something like that. That's what you're looking for these days from a fantasy quarterback.
Casey asks, does Breshad Perriman have any fantasy value?
I have a hard time believing any Jet has fantasy value right now. I'll give Jamison Crowder his credit. He's certainly been great when he's played. And LaMichael Perine could end up being their best running back rest of season. But Breshad Perriman is droppable.
Dave, I prospected Travis Fulgham, picked him up even before his first game, and it's paid off. I've now done the same thing. I picked up a Sunday morning. I picked up Marquez Callaway. He had a good game. Is there any hope that he keeps it up?
Well, he left the game hurt. He said after the game that he'll be okay. Yeah. And it's great that he's making plays for the Saints, but it's out of desperation because we don't know what Emmanuel Sanders' status is this week. We know he didn't play last week. He was on the COVID list. And Michael Thomas just can't get healthy. First, he had the high ankle sprain. Now his hamstring hurt him in practice last week. As long as both those guys are out and Callaway's healthy, then I think you've got a chance for him to be decent. He's a little raw as far as receivers go. He'll make some mistakes, but he is quick.
All right, Dave, I need selfish help here. You ready?
Yes.
I have three – in a two-quarterback league, I have three excellent quarterbacks. I'm considering trading one of them. I have Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this sounds like you're bragging. Dustin, doesn't this sound like
I'm bragging.
Bull is bragging?
Well, I'm bragging here.
Well, Dave, this is what Bull does.
I'm trying to decide, should I keep – I mean, my team's so good in this league. I don't even know what I get, but I'm trying to decide.
It's called a humble brag, is what it's called, Bull. Humble brag.
Yeah, it's humble brag. Not humble at all. It's just a brag.
It's a big brag.
Yeah.
You can take offers for all three of them.
Yeah.
I think Watson's probably the most value rest of season, most valuable, I should say.
Yeah.
And then Jackson right behind him, and then Herbert right behind him. But they're all like top seven quarterbacks. How did they let you get away with this in this league?
Well, what happened was – I drafted Lamar, and I made a trade for Watson. It was a bad trade for the other team. I can't remember what it was exactly. I get all this depth, and then I trade my depth to get better starters in this league because this particular league is a less experienced group. And then I picked up Justin Herbert before he was starting, so I just put him on my bench, and then he started starting.
Another great job of prospecting by you. You got to start announcing who you're prospecting moving forward.
I know.
I can't believe you liked Fulgham. Fulgham, to me, is just the most out-of-nowhere receiver for fantasy this year because he was dropped by the Lions, really didn't fit in there, and is more of just like a big body than anything else. But it's almost like Callaway New Orleans. Out of necessity, they needed to play him, and he ended up doing well because he's just catching these balls that Carson Wentz is throwing his way, hoping that he comes down with them, and he is.
Last thing, for the 2021 season, how much more valuable, if at all, is T. Higgins than Christian Kirk?
Oh, he'll be more valuable.
Significantly
more? I think Dustin will back me up on this one, that T. Higgins just has a chance to be a very, very good NFL receiver.
God, yeah.
And here's my favorite anecdote about him coming into the draft. Do you know who he was working out with before the draft, leading up to the draft, every day?
I can't remember.
Joe Burrow.
Oh,
okay.
Smart.
Okay, so the Bengals draft Burrow at one, and then they come right back and get Higgins. These guys have been working out together, and now connecting, and he looks great out there. You know, I have a hard time. And he modeled his game after A.J. Green. It's really like a perfect serendipitous. It's almost like a movie. And the movie's going to end with T. Higgins being a top 50 pick in drafts very soon.
Dave, great stuff as always. You mentioned the trade chart. Check out the trade chart, CBSSports.com. Because it'll help you. Every player, all the good players, have a number value, and you can use the numbers to say, hey, is this trade worth it?
Right.
You add them up, right?
That's the point.
So what else is going on?
Trying to help people make smarter deals or to rip people off, one or the other.
That's right. What else is going on at CBS?
Oh, we've got a waiver wire show. We didn't really talk about everybody that's available off the waiver wire tonight, including the quarterbacks, including Tua Tagovailoa, somebody to look at if you want to try and get the next Justin Herbert, if you want to do your own prospecting, just like the Bull does. But at 8 p.m., twitch.com/FFToday, we'll get into all the waiver wire guys, including a lot of interesting tight ends, including your boy Harrison Bryant up there in Cleveland.
Richard Rodgers, too, probably?
He's good for like a one week stay in a lineup, but there are a couple of tight ends. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay,
you got to tune into the Twitch. A couple of tight ends that have rest of season potential
that are out there. I need some help there. Hey, Dave, last thing.
Tune in 8 o'clock, twitch.com/FFToday.
I'm in. Last thing, Nick asked real quick, Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers this week?
I'd go Rodgers.
Okay. Dave, thanks as always, man.
You got it, gentlemen. Talk soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.